evening, everyone. You've tuned in to Paradigm Shifters, and we have a revisit tonight. This is Christian Minson, and some of you will remember that he is, well, he's one of Judith Kravitz's students initially and a leader of his own in his own right, teaching the value of breathing. His website is called Breath Flow. breathflow.com. But something I was looking at, Christian said, breath flow home. And I thought, what a perfect combination of words. Welcome to the show, Christian.
Thank you very much, Veronica. It's great to be back.
Yeah, it's been a few years, and I know you've done a lot in that time. Now, you started off in this path being a monk. Can you tell us a tiny bit about that? And how did you get into the breathing, the world of breathing, besides just being alive?
Well, yeah. So I was a monk for 10 years in a spiritual order, a meditative order, actually, where, how it kind of relates to breath work, we actually focused on the breath and the particular meditation exercises that we used to perform. And so I got 10 years of experiential education on how focusing on the breath could really help us let go of body consciousness and attain higher states of awareness. The breath work of Judith Kravitz, transformational breath work, that I was introduced to around the time that I was in a tumultuous emotional state, deciding should I stay or should I go from the ashram or monastery life. And it was, a time it was fraught with a lot of anxiety, a lot of really, questioning myself, am I doing the right thing, or what am I even doing, what is the right thing? And through the process of the breath work, in a particular process that I might have the opportunity to share with you later, I really came to understand that it was my path to leave the monastery life and to begin, to share my gifts back out here in the outside world. And
so did you use breath? Did you use breath to make the decision?
Yes. I was able to attend a seminar, the personal transformation seminar that I now teach. I attended that with Judith Kravitz leading it, and that put me in the direction. And then, like I said, I was using a particular technique that I developed that really helped me hone in to what my core essential motivation was. And, despite the fact that people were telling me that monastic life was the last stop in my spiritual life and I'd be crazy to leave it, and that I was deserting God, and all sorts of things that ran through my mind or people were trying to tell me, still I had this underlying burning drive to move in a new direction. And that's what I was able to tune into and really come to an understanding of what my authentic motivation was through the power of breath work and really getting centered. And then it was that, the breath helped me so much. It just so happened that the courses for, the trainings to become a facilitator of that work happened literally the week I got out of the ashram. So I really did not have any place to go, and so I signed up for the courses, enjoyed them so much. I really got on the fast track to becoming a facilitator. What was great was I feel like the breath work was a great way to transition from what I've been doing inside the monastery, the very specialized, specific practices, and coming out into a world which was much more, where the it's not so spiritually focused, but
it's highly textured, you might say.
Highly textured, generalized, and perhaps even a little reticent to you know, accept the words, you know, God and spirit and meditation and that kind of thing, that the breath was really a great bridge to take the work that I'd been doing internally all those years as a monk and, you know, continue on that path and yet do it in a way that was really much more palpable to the masses, and, you know, something that not only could give them an experience that touched them on a deep spiritual level, but ultimately helped them in often their more immediate concerns, which was to quell their emotional turmoil or get rid of chronic physical issues.
Hmm.
So that's the short story of how I got into the breath work.
And well, I love that. So it kind of got you closer to your, what, your, would you say your truth or your spirit or your core self?
Yeah, that's exactly what I say. Because from my philosophy, the breath is our essential core self. So the more that we can really bring that, you know, that breath into fluid being within ourselves, the more we're actually in touch with that core essential part of us. And the more then that what goes on in our minds and our emotional body beings is influenced by the higher state of spiritual awareness rather than our typical daily ego state of consciousness.
Mm. How long ago was it that you made that huge jump? Was it a jump, a bridge, across the bridge?
That, it's getting farther and farther away. It was 7 years this past September that made that transition.
Did you ever find a grief or a loss of a way of life? And it gets pretty crazy out here, doesn't it?
It definitely gets crazy out here. I've told people, when I tell the story, basically, I have to say that I've never regretted making this decision because I really took the time to tune in with my deep, authentic truth. That being said, I have to say that life in the ashram was a lot easier, and I've definitely faced many challenges out here and continue to face them. But that really was, I think, one of the reasons why I chose to come back out, was to help people in the trenches, essentially, to to be in the situations that people are in, the kind of situations that we were able to avoid or that we were protected from living behind monastery walls. But now I'm in those situations, so I can feel the pain, I can feel the struggle that people have, and then I can offer the tools that I know work to help, you know, first of all, use them myself, and then second, to help others.
Did you find that this transformational breath technique amped up some of the things you were learning in the self-actualization fellowship?
I'd say it did, yes. And it's, you know, it's kind of like, it's great to be a devout meditator and then be able to compare, because I think ultimately there's no substitute for meditation. I think meditation really is a process in which we tune in with the deep, you know, our soul, and then take that soul and tune it in with the higher consciousness of God or the universal spirit or however you want to, you know, whatever your languaging is for that. But the breath really, in some ways, it's like a shortcut, you know, comparing it with meditation. That notice that it can, in, you know, doing this particular technique, especially the transformational breath work, it can kind of induce meditative like, trance like, or spiritual types of experiences a lot quicker and sometimes even more consistently than meditation does. And that's, that I notice for many people, myself included at times, is, you know, sort of the juice to the juiciness of a meditative experience that, you know, that keeps us kind of excited about it and continuing on. Now, that being said, the you know, we were taught within the ashram that those kinds of experiences aren't the end-all and be-all of meditation, that, again, it's not really a substitute for meditation, because ultimately, until we're fully anchored in our spiritual truth and awareness, that, you know, that's the main goal of what we're trying to achieve. And these other experiences are good, they're fun, they're fantastical, and they can help us, but we always got to keep in mind that they're not the goal.
But wait a minute, aren't there, Christian, aren't the breathing, since I've talked to Judith Kravitz, and of course I'm very impressed that she helped herself out of throat cancer with the breathing, but in any case, I haven't done it for a little while, but I was doing it very, very diligently every day and sometimes twice a day, and I found it was very like a meditation. It was very much a meditation, actually.
Yeah, well, it is very much like meditation, and what I usually say is people who've never meditated before, people who have an issue with meditating, either they have, you know, when I talk about meditation, I've got a very formal concept. You know, you sit still, you sit with your spine straight, you focus your gaze at the spiritual eye, you rid yourself of thoughts, you practice particular techniques. The breath work is much, you know, in comparison with the rigidity of formal meditation, it is much more relaxed. You can move in your session, you can lie down, you don't have to worry about what's going on in your head. You basically just focus on whatever comes up and allowing your breath to keep flowing and integrating whatever energies are in your system. So it is...
it's easier then, isn't it?
In many ways, I would say it's easier. You know, again, not saying that to be a complete substitute for those, you know, for those that would give up meditation altogether because it's too hard, I would say this is a great substitute. And for those who do meditate, I feel like the breathwork is a great precursor to meditation because it does wonders for clearing out and balancing our emotional body and our emotional state so that when we actually sit down to meditate, we don't spend the first 15 minutes or half an hour just trying to quiet our minds to get to the state that meditation is meant to bring us, but that can be done in advance with the breath work very effectively.
I wonder if there's been any research on breath work and mental health. Has there?
I cannot speak to that knowledgeably, whether there is any specific research. I do know that that the medical community is unfortunately not viewed breath very significantly. Which
gee, that surprises me.
It is surprising to me. You know, diet, breath, it's the basics of life tend not to be emphasized in traditional Western medical learning. And, it is, but it's coming around as more and more breath work, goes around the planet and people are getting results despite the fact that medical science has nothing to say about it. It starts to pay attention. And I do have to say back in probably about the time we had our first interview, I was doing some experiments of my own through the California Institute of Human Sciences.
Oh, wow.
And we were actually testing breath work, hooking our test subjects up to electrodes and all that and measuring their electrical conductivity and changes in their electric patterning as they did this breath work. What I realized was that, testing, making things scientific and testing is a big, laborious process for sure. it takes a lot of data to start to really see trends and to see, and to weed out variables that could be influencing the results and those kinds of things. But the results, know, the initial results were very promising, that there definitely was an enhanced energetic output that was happening as a result of the breath work. And it's definitely worth exploring more.
And the process of the breath work that you teach, breath flow, is a process where you breathe. It's like a rebirth kind of breath. Would you tell people what it's like?
Yeah, well, from my perspective, you know, the modern history of breathwork 101, Cliff Notes version, is that a man named Leonard Orr started rebirthing back in the 70s, a process he called rebirthing. And he was really, I think, the grandfather of this modern movement of breathwork. I had the good fortune to meet him, and supposedly he breathed for the first time Stanislav Grof, who then was interested in transpersonal psychology and developed holotropic breathing, which was another, you know, branch, essentially, where he was, his first initial motivation was to, he was doing LSD testing, and then that was outlawed, and he was trying to recreate the LSD experience without the chemicals in that.
Oh, interesting.
He was able to do that through the holotropic breathing.
Hmm.
And then
And that's a style of breathing that's really intense, isn't it?
Yeah, very, very intense. I'd say they do it for long periods of time, very aggressively, music loud and blaring.
Mm-hmm.
Similar elements, but I think that, you know, the other branch was the transformational breath, which Judith Kravitz started. And to me, that really is the most holistic, well-rounded technique. It offers the same kind of experiences that holotropic or rebirthing can offer you, with the added benefit that the patterning of breathing that you really use in the transformational breath is designed to reinforce healthy breathing on a daily basis. So
mm-hmm.
by getting into the transformational breath pattern, you're reinforcing your ability to breathe better.
Mm-hmm.
These other techniques give you fabulous experiences, but they don't really leave you with anything to help you, you know, continue to breathe better and improve your relationship to your breath beyond the experience that, you know, a facilitator may give you.
That's interesting. And I want to throw in a different type. What's pranic breathing? Is that similar or?
Pranic breathing, I have not had the opportunity to have myself. I do know there's a number of pranic healers in my area, and that's something I'd like to experience, but I cannot speak to that because I don't have an experience with it.
Well, I'm really impressed with, as I told you, I went to one little breathing session with Judith Kravitz, and I really enjoyed yours in my interview the last time. So I'd love to have you describe to people, you don't necessarily have to do the breathing, but if you could sort of describe to them what the nature of the breath is, because it really seems to pick up, what would you say? I think it starts breathing you after you've started the rhythm of breathing it, right?
Exactly. That's the state we call the ultimate state that we're trying to get to, activation. And activation is where, just as you stated, your breath starts breathing you. So this will be an automatic breath pattern going on, or semi-automatic, where you are offering very little effort to doing the breath. And that's where all the magic starts to happen in this process. It is... if you're equating, you know, if you equate breath with spirit, and, you know, the, as I mentioned earlier, the higher spiritual nature of ourselves, if you go back to the etymology of the word spirit, it comes from the Latin root spiritus, which means to breathe.
Mm.
So even in the development of the word spirit, there was this definitive relationship between breath and spirit. And yogis, those who practice yoga, know that relationship is because of prana, or prana is the life force energy that we take into our bodies when we breathe. In fact, prana is the life force energy that we distill from everything that we consume, whether it's foods, liquids, or gases like oxygen. We're distilling this prana. Oxygen just happens to be heavily laden with prana energy, and it's also the easiest to distill out of the oxygen molecule. So by breathing, by bringing in more prana, we're actually, in a very interesting sense, we're essentially quantifying our relationship to spirit, meaning the more prana, the more oxygen, and the more prana we can bring into our bodies, the more spiritual energy we have in our field. And as I said in the beginning, then we're influenced more by that higher consciousness that is inherent within the prana versus the lower egoistic consciousness that we tend to run our day-to-day lives on. Mm-hmm. And that's where, you know, we can have the more fantastical experiences where our intuition comes very much to the forefront. Our creativity is stimulated, being, you know, creative energy is the energy of the universe. Our sense of connection to ourselves, to other people that may be in the room or distantly away, or even on the other side of the life-death continuum, and ultimately a connection to that essential energy that's greater than us all, which, again, we might call God or the universe or source energy.
Or divine or something. Well, tell me this, on a very basic practical level, we're living in a nightmarish toxicity a lot of the time. Is it a good tool for detoxing?
The breath work is amazingly powerful for detox. In fact, a little known fact is that our respiratory system is responsible for 70% of the toxins that we release from our body. So that includes releasing it through our elimination system, releasing toxins through sweating them out, and releasing them through our exhalation. 70% comes from our respiration. Now, that being said, most of us, you know, by and large across the board, from all the individual sessions I've done, all the group work that I've done, about you know, the vast majority of us breathe at about 20% of our capacity.
Whoa.
If you can imagine that here we have this amazing opportunity to interface with this life force energy. We also have this amazing opportunity to detox very effectively, and yet we're really only using that system to 20% of its effectiveness.
Because we're not taught, are we?
Pardon me?
We're just not taught, are we?
Well, exactly. We've never been taught about our, you know, that breath has been important. And as you know, so your question about the breath work being effective for detoxification is that as we learn the breath work, it's actually, for many of us, our first education ever on how to breathe. We start to learn how to utilize more of our capacity. Utilizing more of capacity translates into more energy on the one side by bringing in more oxygen, more life force energy. And on the flip side, it results in better detoxification because now we're engaging the system to work harder to eliminate those toxins. And a great side note, if you know anything about the lymphatic system, which is our circulatory system that all the toxins get dumped into and processed so that they can be eventually chewed up small enough that they can be dumped in the bloodstream and processed through our liver and kidneys. The lymph system has traditionally, well, we have two circulatory systems, the blood system, which, you know, transports blood cells all over our body, and the lymph system. The blood system has a pump, which everybody knows, that's the heart. You know, the heart pumps the blood throughout our system. Traditionally, they thought that the lymph system doesn't have a pump, but recently, you know, there's more, what do you say, more acceptance that there actually is a pump for the lymph system, and that is our diaphragm. The diaphragm being the dome-shaped muscle that is responsible for breathing. It is our breathing muscle. And the more that we can do deep diaphragmatic breathing, a doctor named Adam West, or not Adam West, but Dr. West in the 1990s showed that by doing deep diaphragmatic breathing, we could actually process up to 15 times more lymph fluid, because many of the lymph nodes that are around our vital organs are centered in that torso region where our diaphragm works, and as it pumps and it massages those lymph nodes, it helps to squeeze that lymph fluid along its path to, again, do its work of detoxifying the body in effective and efficient ways.
Have you ever worked, like in your practice, one-on-one or even in groups, have you ever worked with someone who's ill, or someone with radiation poisoning or anything of that sort?
I can't recall if I've had anybody with radiation poison.
Of course, that's a big thing these days, isn't it?
Certainly not severe radiation poisoning, but yeah, but I'd say we probably all have radiation poisoning with the, you know, the Japanese nuclear plants, especially all of us on the West Coast. Things they don't tell us about, but you know, how can radiation not come over our direction with trade winds and currents that, and you know, that to my knowledge, that leak has still not been contained, and so it's just been minimized. So we need to do things to help us, you know, help us detox as much as possible. And that, you know, the breath work really is our first line of defense.
That's what I've been thinking. I think that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's
So as West Coasters could get to work now and do more of the breath, right?
Yeah, for the sake of detoxifying that you know, radiation energy. But as far as, you know, detoxing, you know, we live in a toxic society. The things we eat, the water we drink, and all that. And you know, it's our bodies are resilient entities. They're made to keep a homeostasis of health, and they work extra hard to, you know, when a toxic substance enters the body works to rid ourselves of it. And when we get sick and diseased is when we put so much toxins into our body that we override our natural systems.
Right.
So, again, if we're breathing 20% of our capacity, we're not using the system that would, you know, eliminate this stuff. And so it builds up in our system. Eventually we get sick. We'll find ourselves in chronic conditions of pain or asthma or allergies, or, you know, the list goes on. But if we can utilize the breath, and it's very simple to do, to, you know, to keep ourselves continuously detoxed, then we run a much better chance of staying healthy over the long term.
I really think that's an important thing for us all to be thinking about these days. Maybe we need to be breatharians, eh? They can't GMO our energy, our air energy. But actually, there's something in about looking at the... Have you ever worked with really sick people that were able to do the breathing?
I have worked with sick people on different levels, you know, people with severe allergies, people with severe asthma, people with severe chronic pain, fibromyalgia, different, you know, just people with severe sleep disorders. And by and large, you know, the breath work has effectively eliminated or at least severely reduced their symptoms and their issues. And again, it's not, it seems very logical to me that once we allow, like we said, if we believe in the body as as an intelligent entity that knows how to bring itself to health. We just need to give it the opportunity to do so, that by, you know, by taking care of the very basics, we can bring ourselves back into a lot of harmonious order. And the very, very basic is getting in touch with as much of that life force energy as we possibly can.
Yeah, I love that. And it seems logical to me to work with, for example, people with asthma. I've never tried that because I'm not really a practitioner like you are, but it just seems to make a huge, it made sense to me.
Hmm? Yeah, exactly. And what's even more interesting as we start getting into this, I mean, we've been talking mainly about physical ailments, which usually is the, you know, the door in for many people, because people don't understand that things like asthma and often a lot of our chronic issues are actually emotionally based.
Uh-huh.
And we get into a whole understanding of how we suppress or repress our emotions, and how that emotional energy then starts to create chaos or short-circuiting our internal systems, and then creates translates into physical ill health. And the breath work is supremely effective at really accessing that emotional energy, helping to activate it and ultimately integrate that energy, as we like to say, to help us to bring it into alignment with our system, rather than for us to be continuously fighting it.
And if we're only using 20% of our breathing capacity, a lot of us on the average, what about babies? Do babies come in with, you know what I mean? Like, how do you amp that up? And do you start with little wee ones? And do they, how do you teach a little one to breathe better right off the bat? You know?
Well, I would, you can teach a baby to breathe. And so, you know, in an ideal state, babies breathe naturally. So it's likely that if you have a baby nearby and you watch it breathe, especially when it's asleep or something, you'll really see an effective breath pattern.
Hmm.
That being said, what happens is, as life starts to happen to us, as we are faced with different traumatic experiences, we start to internalize those experiences if we don't know how to process them in the moment. And as we internalize more and more of that discordant energy, we actually start to shift the way we breathe as a result of that. And we start to form dysfunctional patterns. And over time, we start breathing dysfunctionally because of that energy. And that reinforces us keeping that energy in, so it's kind of like a continuous downward spiral. Whereas if we can learn, you know, like I said, and this is where I think with the transformational breath is very effective, because we're learning healthy, effective breathing patterns that we can use to replace. You know, we're essentially learning a new habit, mm-hmm. how to breathe properly, so that then we can replace all our dysfunctional patterns and allow allow the breath to flow, allow the emotions to flow, and give ourselves an opportunity to honor the feelings that do come up in us, and not feel like we have to hide them or repress them or suppress them.
Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting that, for example, we'll go back to asthma, because we were talking about that, and I'm often fascinated by how the lungs record kind of karmic grief, you know? And I and I think of children, little children who have asthma, and I'm going, we don't know what we've already come with, do we? And you know, it's really, it's just fascinating to be a body in a way, isn't it?
Exactly. Well, you know, if you're taking a spiritual perspective on things, which is what I tend to do, being that I came from that monastic background and a high interest in spirituality, that we're, you know, it's been said before by Deepak Chopra, by other spiritual masters, that we're spiritual beings having a physical experience. And our bodies are really just reflections of the nature of our spiritual attunement or non-attunement. And you know, the whole goal is to get more and more attuned till we're locked right in full resonance with the greater energy, again, of God or spirit or source. And that's the ultimate
Well, do you think that this breath flow, do you think the transformational breathing is a rapid route to becoming more of an integrated true being, you know, true to ourselves?
I would definitively say that.
Sign us up. I know.
And
you...
what's great, sign you up. What's great is that now, till recently, basically, the difficult part of that was that felt like it had to be there present to help people to breathe and all. But now, since the course of the last time that I have interviewed with you, started doing sessions by Skype or any kind of video conferencing, and found them to be very effective for being able to offer the same kind of service, you know, helping people to really breathe and integrate on a physical, emotional, and spiritual level through the breath work while they're in remote locations or far, many, many thousands of miles away from me personally.
I love that. Isn't it wonderful? There's no time.
Yeah.
What is it? There's no time in space, is there? I mean, there's no time and there's no space. There's no distance. We're all together, really.
Well, technology definitely is created with... I believe altruistic motives, and there are advantages to it. It tends to be a beast of its own, where we have to be careful that, you know, we don't put the cart before the horse. But it, you know, utilized properly, it definitely serves us in, and this is one of the ways that it can really serve us by bridging the gap of time and space.
And so, besides having clients all over the universe, right? You're also conducting groups, and I think you've got one even as fast as tomorrow. I don't know who's going to hear about it enough, but can you tell us about the one that's coming up tomorrow, which
yeah,
is
I'll tell
Tuesday
you that.
The
well,
21st?
I will tell you about that in a roundabout way. As you've mentioned, we've got groups. I did want to say, again, since I have talked to you last, too, my work has expanded quite a bit. I had the opportunity to travel to Europe a couple times last year, did my first transformational breath seminar in Bulgaria, Sofia,
Whoa.
Bulgaria, of all places. So
Whoa.
Really this work is meant to heal the world. And, you know, I went to Moscow, Russia, I went to Berlin, I've been to Monaco, I've been to Cannes, France. Across the gamut of people who, you know, are struggling financially in their living situations to one of the wealthiest Russian magnates and on the planet right now, you know, they all are common in one thing, and that is that we all could learn to breathe better and get more in touch with our and deeper inner selves, and that's what they're coming for. Mm. So the thing that I have going on, you know, in finding ways to reach more people, what I've got going on tomorrow night, which is Tuesday the 21st, is a teleconference, the initial call to a 12-week teleconference where I will be taking people on the journey of the presence process, which... Mm. Is a whole nother breathwork related process for self-healing and integration that was started by a man named Michael Brown, and Judith Kravitz, who is my teacher and mentor, are now fast contemporaries in the breathwork. They support each other. In fact, Judith wrote the foreword or the introduction to Michael's book.
Isn't Michael Brown the fellow that was doing a lot of things in nature with people?
I'm not sure that that's...
Maybe a different one.
Mm-hmm. The same, yeah, same Michael Brown. His fame really comes from this presence process, which is a 10-week journey using the process of breathing twice a day, 15 minutes a day, plus taking you each week, utilizing his conscious response, conscious response statements and the instructions that he gives you each week. It's just phenomenal for peeling off a layer of our, you know, crap, for lack of a better politically correct term.
And, you know, I think it's pretty politically correct. It's all right.
But each week you're going deeper and deeper into your stuff, and I find it remarkable. I've been on this journey now 5 times, and I've led this class last year at this time too, and it never ceases to amaze me how it seems like life lines up just perfectly to bring out the lessons that you need to learn, that you know, that are on the docket for that week's, the things that you're learning about that week. Hmm. All seem to come forward in your life and present themselves to, and that's really what it's all about, is bringing the stuff out of the closet of our lives and, you know, allowing it to finally release and be open.
Is it going to be on Skype? Are people going to see each other or see you?
This particular teleconference will be by phone. Mm-hmm. And tomorrow, the first call is a free introduction. So I encourage anybody who's listening to go to basically my Facebook page, which would be, if you search on Facebook for Breath Flow, you'll find Inhale Life /Breath Flow R. Christian Minson. That's my fan page. If you like that, you'll see at the very top of it is the event to sign up for, and you follow the link and you'll get the phone number and you can attend the call. And the call will be recorded, so if you happen to listen to this, you know, podcast after that has actually happened, for the whole next week, you could still get on that call and decide if you want to take the journey or not. And then from that call, those who are brave and those who are ready for some massive transformation will join me for the next 11 weeks following the 10-week process, and then have the final week of wrapping everything up.
It sounds wonderful. Does it include breath work as well?
Yes, that's the whole reason why I basically got interested in this process, because he uses a process of breath work where you breathe 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes at night, ideally immediately upon getting up and just before going to bed, but at least whenever you can, and that being the primary tool, as well as the other stuff that he has to offer. Mm-hmm. And I go over that each week. Each week I go into his lesson specifically, clear up any confusion about it, try to concisely state the nuggets of wisdom that are in there. So if you're lazy and you didn't want to read the book at all, you could get it all just by the call. Of course, I advocate reading the book and then coming on the call is the best way to get the most out of it.
What's the book? Where's the book?
The book is called The Presence Process.
Okay.
So it is a process that you can do on your own if people do it, but one of the things that Michael Brown advocates is that you do it with other people for support, of course. As you know, where two or more are gathered, there the energy is stronger for whatever endeavor you're trying to do.
So it's a coherence factor too, isn't it?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's why I started this group, to really bring people together, and it's great to bring people together from all over the world, essentially. Again, one of those things that can cross boundaries of time and space, so that we can support each other in practicing this personally altering and planet altering practice.
It's your new politics, or it's old politics rebreathed.
Exactly.
That's great. So it starts tomorrow at 6 West Coast time?
Yes, 6 p.m. West Coast time. So translate that to whatever time zone you're in. And then as well, like I said, if you can't make it for that particular call, you can certainly, if you still register, you'll get the number for the call, the recording, and you can listen to it as soon as 1 hour after the actual call happened.
Well, Christian, will all of them be recorded or just the first one?
Yes, all of them will be recorded. So
oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
See, it doesn't matter about time and space these days, does it?
It really doesn't.
I guess we're being primed to be very multidimensional and very active about it.
However, we still do have, the variety, the majestic variety of different locations in space, and especially on this planet, some places are much more beautiful, or at least spiritually enticing, than others. And that's why I also offer things like retreats, where we do this transformational breath seminar, 5-day, 6-day seminar, in exotic locations. And
I want to go to that. Where's that one?
The next one I've got going on for there will be in Panama at the end of February, February 23rd through 28th. This transformational breath, personal transformation seminar and retreat in, I believe it's Boquete, Panama. And it is a wonderful place we've got there, beautiful Central American environment. Definitely going to be warm and balmy for all you northerners who may be experiencing sub-zero temperatures right now. Mm-hmm. So, and of course, all the transformational goodness that comes from a transformational breath seminar, no matter what location it's at, but combined with the natural beauty and the fun things that we'll also have that are location specific.
How many of you are going to be running this class, or are being counseling people or helping people in this class?
Well, that depends on how many people will be coming to the seminar. But
I should think it'd be wonderful to absolutely dip yourself into 5 or 6 days of just living into it, right?
Well, it is. I definitely tout it as the essential experience of the transformational breath process. For it is the pinnacle of what this process really has to offer. Because not only do you learn the process, but you really get to be engaged in it 2 to 3 times a day. You're really immersed in the process, and then along the way you're learning different supporting modalities. It's not just breathing for 24 hours a day, but it's having these sessions, and then in between the sessions learning deeper principles, learning other techniques of integration for helping you for a lot of energy comes up during these sessions that sometimes you need help processing. So we've got mental ways of processing it. We've got emotional ways of processing it. Of course, spiritual ways of processing it. And that.
It sounds absolutely delightful.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to have you aboard, and any of your listeners, actually. And you could find out more about that on my website, Schedule of Events, at breathflow.com.
It sounds so wonderful. It sounds so delicious, as I said. I'm repeating myself because I guess I feel the draw, but to actually immerse oneself in this kind of focus, hey?
Exactly. I like that word immersion because I get this visual of being dipped in this luminescent liquid or something that brings you to a new dimension of life. And that's essentially the experience. People are definitely transformed during the week, and it's amazing how big the smiles are at the end of the week.
It's a little like a high-speed ashram, isn't it?
It definitely could be viewed that way.
Well, I think it sounds absolutely wonderful. I'm also really interested in the fact that when people do these things together, the coherence really, I mean, people's energy amps up, doesn't it? And then they radiate at a higher level, and whole bunches of them do. That's wonderful.
Well, that is. That's kind of, you know, the group experience is phenomenal in that way. And I often say you'll make some of the best friends that you've ever made at these kind of events, because it's kind of like your war buddies, you know, people who you're getting vulnerable with, that you're going through deep, deep, vulnerable, intimate experiences that, that leave you open, and those people are all doing the same thing, so you naturally just bond at such a deep level that you'll make some of the best friends that you might ever have for your life.
And it'd be the truth of yourself, right, that you're sharing.
Exactly, yeah.
So Christian, before we run out of time, we thought you might do a process. Do
yeah,
we have enough
I would,
time for that? Yeah, we do.
Good. Then I'd like to, since we interviewed last, I started doing spiritual counseling as well, which is helping people, more on that spiritual level to process some of the energies that come up during their breath work, or, people who want to get a deeper spiritual perspective or focus on their lives. And that's, that comes from my 10 years of being a monk and really diving in and living that spiritual life. And in those 10 years, like I said, I had that transition, and I wrote about it in the book that we published on conscious business version, consciousness and business, called Align, Expand, and Succeed. And in that, I give a technique, the technique that I use to help me move through this transition and really find my authentic, essential motivation. And that's what I'd like to share with you all now, is to, take you through that process. And so people listening can use it right now, or they can and get the essence of the process and use it at a later time once they've, once they tune into the decisions that they need to make.
Wonderful.
So this is a technique for tuning into into your inner direction in times of transition, and it's profound in its simplicity. So anytime you desire to resonate more with your guiding truth, follow these basic steps. So, number one, find a quiet place where you can sit undisturbed. So even on the phone right now, sit upright with your spine straight, yet be comfortable. Then next, clearly define in your mind, and sometimes writing will help you define this, two or more options which you're struggling. So you've got this choice or this choice, or maybe this choice, and this choice, and you don't know what to take. So then take one of those options in your mind and begin to breathe as you think about it. So as you're thinking about this option, allowing, the essence of what it's about to be with you, start breathing in a rhythmic, connected fashion. So that means to inhale smoothly, relax as you exhale, and keep the breath connected. In other words, keep a continuous flow going, as if your breath were like an ocean wave rising and falling with each inhalation and exhalation. So it's important not to pause, but to keep the breath connected in this way, flowing, which will really access the connection to the presence, which will give you your deeper resonant answer. So with this option that you're mulling over still in your consciousness, concentrate your awareness then on your heart center. So you've got this option. You've dropped it in your heart. And then just notice without judgment what feelings naturally arise. Make note of the quality of your breathing as well as you dwell on those options. So you notice, do you feel excited? Do you feel closed down? Do you feel like your breath starts to become labored? Do you feel like it just opens up and is free? All these things are signals to tell you what your true relationship to this option is. So then take the other options, you know, your second choice, your second and third choices, and repeat these same steps, noting, you know, what feelings will naturally arise and the ease or difficulty that occurs in your breathing pattern. So, like I said, are your feelings joyful or are they apprehensive? Does your breath flow smoothly or is there some difficulty in the process? And as you allow the different options to resonate with or against your authentic energy, it will become apparent which course of action is most compelling. This is where you have to trust yourself and take it. You know, so when you feel that resonance of what is really your motivation, even if it's in the face of things that don't seem logical, that's the choice you need to take. And as I have stated for myself, you will never regret it. So that's the basic process for facilitating transitions, and I've found it very effective and it's helped a number of people through transitions in their lives, and I'm hoping that it will be a big help to your listenership as well.
Thank you so much, Christian, and we have to be pulled off stage right now. But if people want to get hold of you and check your events, it's, what is it, Breath Flow? You tell it.
My website is breathflow.com, and then my Facebook, if you just go to Facebook and type in Breath Flow in the search bar, you'll come upon my fan page as well.
Yay, Christian. I'm your fan, see?
As I am yours.
Thank you so much for this discussion and for that process and for your great work in the world. And our blessings on to Judith as well.
Well, thank you so much for this opportunity and for the work you do and helping shed light on all these different great things that are there to help people.
We're breathing light, eh? Thank you, and you too. We're breathing light on it all, right?
Awesome, exactly.
Thank you so much, Christian.
Thank you. Breathe joy.
Yes, thank you. Well, good night, everyone. That was Christian Minson, and boy, that breath, that transformational breath is really effective. This is Veronica Entwistle saying, any feedback, veronicaentwistle.com. Hit the Ask Veronica button and make some suggestions about guests or comments about Christian or a session with me, my guides and angels, or with Christian for that matter. Thank you so much for listening. Good night and much love.